Thank you. Thank you, Mike. If you're looking at your bulletin, you may have already turned to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. That's what I preached last month. Some of you probably turned there and said, I wonder what he's going to preach about over this passage. But for those of you who want to follow along, please turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want to look at verse 26 and verse 27. And if the title were in the bulletin, it would either read, The Irony of Being Human, or Lucky Mud. Choose the one that you can remember the best. It is good to be here again this morning. I do thank Randy and the session for inviting me to fill in. It's always a pleasure to share God's Word with you. Follow on Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for all of Scripture, what we call the Old and the New Testament. Father, we thank you for the encouragement and the challenges that we get from each and every passage. Do bless us this morning through the rest of this service and Sunday school that follows. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I asked each of you here at Providence whether or not you were a human being, you would probably answer in the affirmative. Some of you would probably smile and answer me with a joke. But now think for a moment. From a spiritual perspective, day by day, what does it mean to be a human being? For the most part, we may not fully know what it means to be a human being. And remember, I'm talking about from a spiritual perspective on a day-by-day basis. Dr. Richard Pratt, a seminary professor, told our class one time about an article in the newspaper that he had seen. He had been in Chicago, and he was in Chicago in the hotel, and the newspaper was there, and there was an article about two events that happened in that hotel earlier. The two events happened at the same time, and of course in the same hotel. One of the events was a suicide, and the other one was a New Age meeting that took place there. The suicide was about a lady who had left her husband for another man. A few days later, he deserted her in that hotel, and she committed suicide. Her suicide note read, "Don't cry for me, I am not human anymore." She had lost her husband, her children, she lost her self-respect. She could easily have assumed if she had lost her womanhood. At the same time that she committed suicide, there was a New Age group meeting there. At the end of the meeting, the lady speaker had them chant, I am God, I am God, I am God. Can you see the irony of being human in this? At the same time, in the same place, people had such opposite feelings about themselves. So which is true? Are we nothing or are we gods? Society tells us to be the captain of our own fate, to make our own decisions, to be our own boss, in effect, to be our own god. We're taught that humans evolved over millions of years. We just slithered out of primordial ooze, and humans are nothing any more than lucky mud. So which is it? Are we nothing? Are we lucky mud that just happened to become human beings? Or are we little gods? Churches sometimes can confuse us. Some concentrate on how bad we are. We come out of church, we look in a mirror, and we cry out, my guilt, I am nothing, I am worthless. Other churches will have us think that God loves us no matter what happens. They teach that God doesn't require or expect anything out of us. Many of them will say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all going to the same place ultimately. So what is the truth? I say that Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27 responds to all of this by telling us, and it repeats it over and over in these two verses, that we are made in the image of God. We are more than lucky mud, but we're not God either, but we are made in His image. All human beings are made in the image of God. A few years ago, some students at Harvard University poured paint over the feet of the statue of John Harvard. That showed disrespect for the university, and it showed disrespect for John Harvard. To deface an image of God, or to deface any image, is to deface everything that the image stands for. To harm an image of God is to harm God Himself. Abortions, for example, fatally harm images of God. If you harm yourself, you harm an image of God. You have value because you are made by Him in His image. If you hate yourself, you hate God. You're His image. We are to take good care of this image of God. Do you remember when Saddam Hussein was captured and put to death? The people rose up and they pulled down his statues, his images that were all over Iraq. They were grand images and they pulled them down. Those statues were put up to remind people who was in charge. Pulling them down declared that the images lost their authority and value. We should live like good godly images of Christ. When people see you, they really should be reminded of their God, of your God. We represent God on earth. On a certain basic level, each of us represents God within society, within our family, and certainly within our church. We are to do no harm, but to do good. Now consider, ask yourself, in what way do you represent this Savior before other people? And I mean specifically, don't say, well, I lead a good life. Lots of people lead good lives. But in what particular way do you represent God so that when people see you, they know they see an image of God? We are predestined to be conformed to His image. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. When Adam and Eve, in the very beginning, Adam and Eve got things all fouled up. They wanted to be equal with God. Being an image of God was not good enough for Adam and Eve. The grand images that were supposed to have dominion and to rule fell. As a result of failing to exercise dominion and disobeying God, they made excuses for themselves and for their guilt. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, Adam speaking to God said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid and I hid myself. But praise God, Genesis chapter 3 is not the end of history or the end of the Bible. It is the beginning of both. God paved a road from Genesis to Revelation. That road leads us to what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be grand images of God Himself. Since we fell with Adam and Eve, we are born as fallen images. But God offers us hope. We can become restored images of Christ. Jesus made it possible for us to be restored images of God by doing certain things. I'll list just three of them. First, Jesus led a sinless life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, it was speaking of Christ. And it says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit or guile found in his mouth. Secondly, he died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thirdly, he rose and he speaks on our behalf. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. By trusting in Christ, we conform to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, where it tells us to put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of your Creator. That image is being renewed in his spiritual worth and dignity from the time that we trust in Christ on. How many of us truly know ourselves? Do we sometimes feel as if we are nothing but unlucky mud? Or maybe at times even lower than unlucky mud. Maybe at times you feel as if you're one small step from being that lady in the hotel room. In Matthew chapter 1 in verse 21, when Joseph, he was confused when he found out that Mary was pregnant. And it must have looked to him as if his world had fallen apart. And in the midst of that despair, an angel spoke to him and said, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say to us and when to say it. Now listen to me. If Jesus can save you from your sins and from the punishment due for those sins, then he can rescue you from any murky, muddy messes that you may be in now or may get into in the future. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if that isn't clear, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. Now, some people ignore Romans chapter 10 and Ephesians chapter 2, and somehow they assume that they crawled out of the primordial mud by themselves, and even though they're a little bit muddy, they can clean themselves off. They can handle all the issues of their life. Let me tell you something. Nobody can cleanse themselves. We can't cleanse a dirty soul with dirty hands, dirty actions, and a dirty mouth. God normally uses restored images of himself to guide others to a new life. If you are a restored image of Christ, you can be and will be used by God to help restore other fallen images of Christ. But, let's face it, some of us need to lose more of that old image that we're clinging to. We may well have a new image, but sometimes we don't like to give up some of those things that formed our old images. We don't see that much harm in some of them. Let me tell you something, you're not God, and you're not nothing, you're not lucky mud. You're an image of Christ and you have value. So because of that, we have to live and act like it. Now I want you to go home, not now, after the service. I want you to go home and start living like a restored image of God should live. Now that can take a little bit of effort because you're probably somewhat satisfied with whatever niche you find yourself in life. Well, go home this afternoon and say, I'm human. I am probably not living as a restored image should live in at least some areas of your lives. Identify it and don't just pray about it for the next year. Change it. This afternoon, determine I am going to stop doing whatever harms this image, this renewed image of Christ. Keep in mind that we are not defined by what we do, or where we live, or what we have, or our accomplishments, or our education. We are defined by our relationship to God, who by His Spirit have joined believers to the body of Christ. So a question remains, what does God require of us who have been renewed? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's a fact for Christians and a promise for other people. We must adopt Romans chapter 12 in verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And we also should reflect 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 13, where Christ established our hearts blameless in holiness before God. Grand restored images of Christ are blameless in their holiness before God. That's a fact. But how many of us really honestly believe that we can apply that truth completely to ourselves? Every one of us has things we need to work on. And as I say, don't pray about it for a year. Start it this afternoon. As a pastor, people will always be coming into you with some secret sin in their life, and quite often it is. And they'll ask you, what should I do about it? And I say, stop doing it. Nobody wants that. They want me to pray with them every week, forever. If the problem is alcohol, you have to stop drinking. If your problem is adultery, you have to stop it. We can go right down through the list, but that's not what people want. I had someone call me up a couple of months ago in another church where I had served, and he was involved in something that really, really surprised me. I would have never guessed it. And I said, you have to stop. He says, that's not what I want to hear. You're a pastor. You're supposed to tell me to pray. I said, how many years have you been praying about it? Many, many, many years. And he took praying about it as a substitute for not stopping. He was a grand image that was really, really defaced. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is a response to a promise of salvation made to the Corinthian church in chapter 6. Chapter 7 in verse 1 says, having these promises, talking about salvation, having these promises of salvation, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the same line of thinking, Peter asked believers a question concerning the time when the new heavens and the earth will come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 says, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Peter asked believers that question, and he didn't even give a hint of an answer. The reason he wanted believers to think about it. What type of people ought they be in order to hasten the coming of the Lord. And I think one reason why he didn't answer it, probably the answer was different for every person in his audience. They all had to address something in their life that needed to be addressed. He challenged them to be holy before the God. So holy, as a matter of fact, that you're hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to honor the God in whose image you are made, or are you going to throw mud or paint at it? Again, think of the question that I asked at the beginning of this message. What does it mean to be a human being? And remember, I'm talking about spiritually on a day-to-day basis. We are born as fallen images. But we can become restored images, and then we can help advance the kingdom of Christ. Think of the enormous, immense scale of the promise when Paul said we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to become like Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus was an image of God the Father. We are an image of God the Father and of Jesus. And the Bible makes this very clear in passage after passage in the Old and the New Testament. Here is part of a prayer of the Apostle Paul for all images of God. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 11, we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. And then verse 12 is so that, he says all of that, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you and you in him. When you put all of this together, God is glorified in his grand images and his grand images are glorified in him. That's hard for us to grasp because we talk about the glory of God, we sing about the glory of God, we imagine the glory of God, but it's so hard to put it in a nutshell. Well, whatever it is, and it goes beyond our thinking and ability to describe it, and all that applies to us as well as it applies to Jesus. See, God has a path for us to follow. So oftentimes, we think we're on the right path, but thinking it does not mean that we have not strayed from it in some fashion, what might seem large or small to us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 23 refers back to a description of people. Now, Paul, when he wrote Romans, said these, talking about people who knew God. Okay, so they knew God, but they did not honor the God that they knew. It says that they professed to be wise, so they said, I know God, and I'm a wise person because I know God. But he says, those people who once knew God became fools. It says they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made in the form of corruptible man. Now there's a lot in that passage. It says they knew him, they professed to be him, and they had the glory, but they exchanged it for the they had the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. That should scare us to death, because who here does not think you're a Christian? You don't have to raise your hands, run down forward. But you probably, without a doubt, assume that you're a Christian. He's talking about people who said that, who believed that, and they exchanged whatever glory they had for an image in the form of corruptible man. Revelation chapter 13 through 19 makes 8 references to the beast that John saw coming out of the sea and the earth. Then in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14, it refers to the second beast, telling people to make an image of the first beast. And then they were to worship that image that they made of the first beast. Chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, gives warnings to everybody about worshiping that image of that beast or any other image. And then chapter 20, verse 4, describes the reward of those who did not worship any of those images. Those people who did not worship any of those images, it says about them, they reigned with Jesus Christ. Now, without a doubt, there was some kind of artificial reward for worshiping that beast or any of those beasts or the other images. But after they've all been described, comes the really good news. Those that didn't succumb reigned with Jesus Christ. Now, what earthly reward could you get that would compare to reigning with Jesus Christ? Reigning with Jesus Christ for those grand images that didn't steer to the side and worship other images. My friends, there's many images which we sometimes adopt and follow that may seem very minor to ourselves. But please be reminded that if you are following anything or anyone, that is a form of worship. We can worship, honor, and follow the one that made us in his image, or we can follow a deadly substitute. Make absolutely sure that in some way, even in a small way, that you have not strayed and are following something other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, if need be, take whatever steps are necessary to restore us to your image fully, in a holy way, in a gracious way. Father, let us know that by not turning aside, we can reign eternally with Jesus Christ. What can be a better promise to be held out for us than that? Yes, Father, we may have to give up some little thing now. We may have to change some little thing, or maybe a major thing. But Father, we all have to change in something. Father, let us do that. Let us handle it as if we are indeed made in your image. Father, conform us to the image of Jesus, of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his most precious name. Amen.